ago, I asked him if he would do the service today. And John asked me before the service if I had next week off, and I told him I sure did if he'd do the service. I can't talk him into it. Toby? I guess not. Couple of announcements. I don't know if and how many of you might remember Junior Hale. He was a big fellow from Ohio. They were down, he and his wife. He passed away yesterday morning. He had a massive heart attack a couple of days before. And I always thought the world of Junior and his wife, Joanne. I hate it for the family, but I don't for him. He gave many indications throughout my time, over many years of knowing him, that he had a love for the Lord and a hunger for the spiritual things contained in the Word of God. But it's always tough on the family to lose one who was of, to me, the magnitude he was in and for that family. Larry, still not doing well, pitiful, pitiful shape. So there's two, one family, Larry, if you would remember. Remember he and Nancy. I'm almost tempted to call off Wednesday night service. 2/3 of you will be gone. And it's tough as it is getting down here that late in the day. Yeah, I think we will just not meet. When I was in school, I worked in the cotton mill in Roanoke and in Opelika. They would run those machines 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But every few months, they'd have to shut them all down. Or they'd shut them down in sections, because you can't keep on without a break and them making the adjustments and the repairs and getting them ready for another several months of working together. And it's similar with me here. I know I got one that one son that said, well, you did work an hour a week. And I don't know if he's serious or joking. He said a good preacher doesn't have to study. They can just get up there and preach, which is not true. And the 1 hour a week, I'll get a break after the service for an hour or two. And then you fight all the fiery darts of the wicked and even those that might arise within your own mind. What you didn't say, what you should have said. And the devil always throwing in things. You're too tough, lighten up. make it easier on the folks that are sitting there. And so might get an hour's break, then the weight of the next service begins to build, and it builds throughout the week. So it takes a great toll upon us mentally. God has a way of physically taking our strength away from us so that we don't have that anymore. And it's a weight, whether it be 30, I don't know anything about 1,000. Don't even know if there's such a thing. Don't see how a pastor could know 1,000 people and pray for them as he ought. But I let Tim get through June, because the weight of the work there is too demanding on him to do it in June. So I don't want to overburden him, and it's hard enough on him to have to do it. But I appreciate him doing it, and I trust that you'll sit here with a prayerful and receptive heart as you see if God might have something to say to your soul. Not to us as a whole. I won't be listening for you. I'll be listening for me. Hungering after a word. Good news from a far country. Some years, it's been several, many, many years now, Brother Dan and Brother Hubert were here together, and Dan walked into Brother Hubert's room and said, you want to turn on TV and get the news? He said, which world are you talking about? And he just a spiritual-minded man that had an eye single to the glory of God and wanting to hear that good news from a far country. I trust you'll hear it this morning. Tim, you come. Lord bless you.
We're going to be working mostly from Joshua, first few chapters. We'll be starting in chapter 1. The fisherman mentioned the accusation of Satan in relation to insinuating that he is at times speaking too hard. The accusation. I want to talk to you today in a part about my being too gentle with myself. So if Satan is accusing him of being too strict, and if I am, trending to be too gentle on myself, well, where would that leave us? If he begins to back off, and I'm already too easy on myself, so I'm talking about having tasted. I think I have tasted of some things. But he also showed that tasting can be of no benefit. So, I look at Joshua, having derived on this thought, the beginning of these thoughts, through some History Channel had a program, happened to be on one day, maybe it was a holiday, when we were off work at the store there. I just happened to catch it, didn't anticipate it, but just happened to see it on. And it was about ancient battles. And it just happened to deal with Joshua here in the siege of Jericho. So before we begin there, if you will, let's bow and ask for our great helper. Eternal Master, we come before you, Father, on this day. This time being set aside. And we ask that it will truly be for the worship of Thee. That You will so incline our heart and mind and so hedge it about. Block out those things which are outside. And that Your blessed Spirit have free reign amongst this people. To illuminate on this little topic that which You find pleasing. To illuminate to our heart and to our mind, Master, that which is good and nourishing for us. And Master, we are all well acquainted with the inability of the physical speaker. The Master, we are not reliant the Father, we are not counting on the physical speaker. Master, we are relying and fully counting upon Thee for these things to be so. So help us, Father, as we attempt to look at these pages, that which you have given to us, and God is in the handling of it and the understanding of it. Have mercy upon these dear souls, Father. They are all good friends, precious souls to us, and we ask for thy help, O Lord, to them in this hour. For as mentioned, the door will soon be shut. It will soon be shut and fastened too. So help us be diligent in this little moment. In Christ's precious name, Father, I do plead. Amen. Mr. Spurgeon wrote in a commentary that's coming up here in the next few days. I happened to see it and just wanted to relate it to you. One portion of the beginning, warrior of the cross. Fight on. Never rest till thy victory is complete. For thine eternal reward will prove worthy of a life of warfare. So I pose the question, if he listens to the accusations, and if I am prone to be gentle on myself, where does that leave me in the warfare? Am I in the fight at all? That is my consideration for Mr. Spurgeon. He urges us to fight on with the full knowledge that even though the desire to rest fully or stop will come, continue to advance, because doing so cannot now be fully appreciated, but that which is at the completion will be completely worthy of all the pressing on. I saw that program from the History Channel the other day. At least I watched parts of it. And this, it was a long series of ancient battles is what it was about. And they had modern day warfare and historical people commenting on different aspects of these events. And when they came to the Battle of Jericho, they give excerpts from the scriptures about the event. And then when they got to the end, I will not use their words, but I will just say in essence they said, well, it really could not have happened that way. But this is probably or could have been what happened. And so they go into theorizing. Instead of the walls having fell down, they go into many ideas and theories about what could have taken place. And so I said, well, you know, I think I'll just read back through this thing and just see exactly what those scriptures do say. And so as I began to read, just reading it as a general history, and today's event began to sort of blend into it, just being here before you in this hour. Chapter 1 of Joshua. Moses has died, and the Lord calls Joshua up to take his place. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua is given to take his place. And as I began to read through the sermon that Barrett spoke some time back, it came to mind in his first few verses, particularly verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That's chapter 1. And we begin then to look down at verse 6. And verse 6 starts out, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 18. Whosoever he be, I'm sorry. I'm a bit nervous when I stand before a crowd. You know that. And my mouth and my mind get you going in different speeds and different directions. Verse 18 is a leader speaking for the body of the people of Israel. We're at the end of chapter 1, verse 18. And this gentleman says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment. He's talking to Joshua. And will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And even this man says, only be strong and of a good courage. And so while I'm thinking about what took place there historically at Jericho, and I'm reading through this, and I begin to wonder, Why is Joshua being told this so many times again, over and over? Four times he's told to be strong and courageous. Well, one thing that I am inclined to believe from this is, and I relate it to my own life and yours, There are times when he's going to have to make decisions. And he's going to be put into some circumstances. And in that little picture there, John often says, I don't know where personal responsibility ends and sovereignty begins. And I'm like him, I don't know. But I take it from this right here that he's telling me there are places where you're going to have to make decisions. And very often it will not be easy. And you will be put into circumstances where you don't have the upper hand. And you could be looking up at the cliff. And the great climb is going to be in front of you. Be strong. And have a good courage. My relation to these series of verses about that be strong and of a good courage. I go back to one we've used a number. It's the clearest for me, the clearest example, and it leaves no question for me. Is that all of these children who have come into our midst have gone, and we all have gone through the same stages at Lane as they are right now. He is in his natural state right now. He is a 6-month-old child. He is a child. That's what he is. As a lost man, I was in my natural state. That's where I was. And that's where I wanted to be. I had no desire to vacate that premises. It does not make common sense to assume that one would leave of your own motivation. You're comfortable. Everything's good. I do like I want to, I think. But something transacts, and slowly, in my case, slowly the wheel begins to turn, as we say. And I'll go back even better for you to keep all this bundle together, just rambling around and doing sometimes. The first 3 times I heard our pastor speak, 3-4 times, by the end of those, I was done. In all of the wisdom that I could muster together, it was too depressing. It was just way too depressing. It ain't supposed to be like it. That's what I said. I clearly remember telling at least one day, I said, I'm not going back anymore. That's just too much. Now, how do you go from right there to right here? Somewhere in amongst all of this, Joshua, you're going to have to make some decisions. And when was it that I made the decision on my own to move me from there, not going back, to here? Well, I decided to go back again, obviously. But what made me do that? What great thing moved when nothing outside changed? My mind was fixed. You're supposed to be happy and cheerful. And I was not. Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, because some hard things are going to come. And you'll make those decisions. And we're in it. You end and I begin. We'll be so merged together. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you. From my point of view. But I can tell you, like with Lane, if Lane moves from that bench to that bench, somebody's going to move him, because he can't get there. That much I know for sure. I know that. And Joshua was urged to be strong and courageous. But looking at myself as a human being, I know that's not going to happen by itself. Something's going to happen. Joshua, when it comes time to make those decisions, and as Mr. Spurgeon talked about, that fighting on till the victory is complete. I'm like Lane. I am unable. So, one might proclaim that he decided, that he chose. But the only thing I know for certain is I'm like that little child. If I get something to eat and drink at that stage, somebody's got to give it to me. That's just how it's going to be. And so, I'm thinking about what these gentlemen said. What about this battle? And they sort of disagree with what took place. And here's the leader of this band that did all this, and he's called upon to be strong and courageous. Even the people that followed him admonished him to be strong and courageous. I have a verse that seems to, a portion of a verse that seems to have become the crux of this whole matter for me. Let's look on over in Joshua chapter 5, somewhere around verse 14, I believe. Anything. I did note that our view, and that's sort of what we covered there, is our view of this decision, this ability to decide, this confidence in making those decisions are often guided or reinforced by the view we have of that relationship there between the personal responsibility. In his case, he was the leader of this nation of people. So he knew he would have to make those decisions. And this relationship to a sovereign God. My view is, whatever decisions that I make, they were not left up in the air. They were not whims. But if I choose to do that which pleases the Lord, He has guided me and brought me to that place. That's all I can see when I look at Lane or these other small children, that it's such a perfect picture. They cannot. Therefore, I could not. I could not. If we get to that place where the eternal reward will prove worthy, if all of us arrive at that place, I cannot comprehend that that I will be any different from any of those who ever pressed their face into the dust. I will always be in this life, I know, I trust, cognizant of that. Aware of my place before Him. My relationship. There's no place for a high-headed attitude. It does not belong, nor is it fitting. So, I ramble around to get to this. Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass when Joshua, we start at 13, if you will, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, when he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am come. I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Unto his servant. This became for me the whole matter of this little search reading. It started out just to verify what did happen, what took place, and some of the things that those guys used to say. Well, they may have used the red cord as a way for folks to climb back up into the building and open the gates, and therefore you could call that the wall falling down and so forth. You see, these things were presented, and as I read through it, I began to see for myself, in the context of be strong and courageous, 13 and 14 comes up. And Joshua, this man leading this nation of people, having seen all that he's already seen in the past. And verse 14 says, And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. And if I may just speak to you individually as a person, as a living soul, as a creation, this is where the accusation will come. Or you begin with it. It might be a little bit too hard. But you see, the question is, because I had to look at it for myself, I still wrestle with it. My friend, in this modern day of circling events, constant movement, when was the last time, friend, you fell on your face? When was the last time you felt any fear in relation to these matters, to this Creator? When was the last time, friend? Because it concerns me that it ain't happening much. We had some things happen this past week at the store. You know how it is when you deal with the public and all kinds of things going on. And you get one bad news, and sure enough, here comes another right behind it. And that's just enough to upset you and throw you into a tailspin. When's the last time I exhibited those emotions and concern to my eternal soul with my Creator? When was the last time? Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I will decide, personal responsibility, I will decide what I will do. If I can be strong and courageous, it'll be because He lifts me. If I decide in the right, it will be because He made me. He made me. Otherwise, lying doesn't move. Look, gentlemen. Those gentlemen look for something they can see. A physical means to explain what happened. When was the last time, friend? Mr. Gene talked about it being a great mystery. Great mystery. That's what it is. I don't understand a lot of it. I just don't. I mean, what I do know, I don't understand a lot of it. And I know I can't even imagine what I do not know. That's how magnificent it is. Come on, Joshua, we're going to follow you, but you've got to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to be. All right. I think then that we move on to the actual siege. If you will, in verse, as you were in chapter 6. So you know the story. They circled around once each day. On the last day, they circled. Gave the great shout 7 times, I think. On the 7th day, they rose early to dawning and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. And then in verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and ass, and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. I felt compelled to add that to the question we just asked before: how long has it been? That's a sobering thought, to think of an entire city of people, regardless of what the population may have been, everything there killed. Because they stood in the path of God's people. And we sing that song about, I don't remember the exact words, but He changes not. He changes not. We say it several times. He changes not. And yet, I never have any concern. There's never any unsettling times. Or they are quickly moved aside by occupation and other endeavors of the day. If things at work can so upset us as to throw our day into turmoil, what kind of consideration should our eternal souls require? Be strong and of a good courage. How am I going to do that? I am fully reliant. But I've got to make decisions. I'm going to have to make decisions. Let's look on over just a bit further and we'll finish with this. They were ordered not to take of the accursed thing. And I'll try to read for you. I didn't make note of it. But at the end of chapter 7, let me just read these verses for you. I'll try to be brief on these. I've got to make decisions. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, I give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." And you remember the walls fell at Jericho, and then they decided they'd send the lighter unit on up to Ai. It was so small they couldn't easily take it, and so they went up there and they got run back. Ai sent them back fleeing. And Joshua was asking, "Lord, what are we going to do about this? In essence, what are we going to do about this right here?" And he said, "There's a problem. Somebody's taking up the accursed thing. We've got to deal with it." So Achan, this is before Joshua, and he's to confess what he's done. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that they had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. It started more as a historical search for me, I thought. I just wanted to be renewed, currently familiar with what it said there about what took place, the events itself and leading up to. And then over time, the scope of it changed. And I was made to think of there Joshua being told to be strong and of a good courage. And if you're not prone to be that way, how do you do that? If you're not the swashbuckler type, my confidence has to come not from myself, but from someone else. And as Joshua fell upon his face, there has to be a deep respect for that someone. And I have to understand the ramifications for disobeying. We live in an hour good example. I would wager a chocolate chip cookie to your two that there won't be a handful today who will stand and speak before a body with any concern at all after they leave. None of them will wrestle with whether they were too strict or too hard. The consideration will be that everything's fine, everybody's happy. And that is so dangerous. Somebody has to be at the front. Everyone else has to be in agreement in their heart. Because these hard things will come. Difficult things. And it won't last. It won't last if it's not tempered along the way. You can't stand up to it. That's the day in which we live. And it is good news to me to know that he has to wrestle with that. That means to me, at least on some hand, something is trying to move him to let up a little bit. Decisions have to be made and have to be followed through. Who is guiding? Who is directing those decisions? So, I will stop with what I said was the crux of the matter for me. And I hope it will be of consideration for you. Or we're just walking along comfortably, enjoying going to the meeting house, mm-hmm. just having an enjoyable time. Mm-hmm. If that's all that it is, I'm not talking about not enjoying the people around you, but for myself, for me, there's going to be some battles in this thing. Mr. Spurgeon back there in the Civil War era time frame, he was writing, he wrote it down. Hey, stay the course. Stay the course. It'll be well worth it when we get to the end. But right now, stay the course. But if there is not that conflict with me from time to time, if there is not that searching, that renewing, I need to be cautious about that, because there's something not right. This thing is not going to be strong and courageous. It's something I'm going to have to be. So I'm going to have to face it. When that question, that accusation comes, I got to face it. And then I got to deal with it. And where is my decision coming from? Is it coming from me? This is the best thing for me to do, take a little heat off of me, or am I guided by somebody else? I think that's all that I have to relate to you on this matter then, and you heard the preacher man about this week's event, so.